Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you guys are with us. And we're going to continue today, part three, if you will, going through the audio track for radio on the VCY America Radio Network and their 60 blowtorch stations. The audio track of Brainwashed America Part 2. It's under 3 hours, and we're going to continue playing that and making comments along the way and taking your phone calls as to what you think about what I'm presenting. I just had the privilege of being a guest on Tamara Scott's show today, just literally got off the air with her on that. And again, this is a very learned lady. She sponsored our Worldview Weekend in Iowa, her and her husband, many, many, many years ago. I think that was fall of 2003. It could have been the spring or fall of 2003, but it was 2003 nonetheless. So I've been working with her and her husband and family and team for a long time. And she's very, very knowledgeable. She has been named one of the 100 kingmakers in America by a group several years ago because of her influence and knowledge. And she was just really commending this documentary and begging people to show it to groups. And again, I'll just have to tell you, when you spend as much time working on something like I have done on this and you don't show it to anyone until you release it, which is the case, even my own family, I wasn't showing it to any of them. None of them saw it till the night you guys saw it. So imagine working on a book or a documentary, or maybe if you could relate, a painting or building a house, and you don't let anyone see it until it's all done. And you're kind of like, what are people going to think? Or are they going to realize what I've done here? Do they realize the connections I'm making? Do they understand the history? So I just have to tell you, unless you've ever been in that position where you've spent a lot of time building on something or producing something, and then after laboring on it for so long, you finally let people see it, you can't understand then what I'm feeling when I get to hear your feedback, which I so appreciate. So thank you for calling in, as you guys have done the last 2 days. But to hear also someone like Tamara Scott, who's down in the trenches and has been saying to her audience, you guys all have to see this, and you need to order cases of it when it comes out on DVD. And she was just going on and on about what's in this documentary. She's had pages and pages of notes. Leo Holman said the other night he had 3,000 words that he'd taken in notes. Now, we are having it. I literally just hung up with the company that's been doing my duplicating now for 25-plus years out of Arizona. We are going to buy it on DVD, and we're going to make it available at our cost, which by the time we take the order and process it online, we have to pay the credit card company or PayPal, whoever it is you go through. So we are going to sell it for $4.99, and it will be going online soon for you to place your order. We also should have real soon where you can order 10, 20, 50, 100. And we're going to get that down as cheap as we can, because then that's just one processing fee and one mailing fee. So the more you buy, the cheaper we can get them down to. Again, we're not doing this to make money. We're going to get it down to as cheap as we can, so we're breaking even. I can't afford to make the documentary, spend the money that it costs to produce it, flying people in, putting them up in hotels, giving them honorariums, paying their airfare, and then turn around and pay the bandwidth. Because every time you guys watch it, by the way, at WVWTV.com, that costs me money. I have my bandwidth bills thousands of dollars a month already. So I can't produce more of these if I go belly up, right? So we've got to at least break even. So we are going to set the price for the documentaries at a break-even price by the time we pay the credit card their fee for processing it or PayPal, and then pay the young kids that pack it up, the college kids that pack it up for us, and then take it to the post office in bulk. But we are going to also do a quantity where you can get them and give them away, just as we've done with my book, Marxianity or Grave Influence. Now, I will tell you, as I did yesterday, before we go to the, I think I told you guys this, when I released Sabotage, the first documentary I was able to clear a $100,000 profit in the first 90 days. Okay? Now, that, again, cost a ton of money to put on because I had to fly people in, put up in hotel, all that, all the cost, right? And then I spent months and months of my time that I could have been laboring doing something else. So that goes to your cost. But I was able to cover my actual physical cost and turn a profit of $100,000 in the first 90 days. Why do I tell you that? I tell you that not because, hey, he's offering it free because nobody will buy it. No, I guarantee you I could do the same thing again with, because I did it with Sabotage, I did it with Siege, and I guarantee you I could have done it with Brainwashed America Part 1 and Part 2. So I'm telling you that so you understand how serious I am about this, because if it were about making money, I wouldn't offer it for free, because I've already proven from Sabotage and Siege I can make good, good money producing these documentaries and selling them. Okay, that's why people produce a lot of documentaries and sell them. It's their living, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, a workman is worthy of his hire. There's nothing wrong with that. I just have chosen, because of the condition that our country is in, not to do that, okay? I believe we're on borrowed time. We must resist. What does it profit us to make more money on something if in the next few years we lose everything we've all ever worked for, including our freedom of religion, our freedom of speech, our parental authority? So I want you to understand how serious I am. I put my money where my mouth is. And I could literally clear a profit on this in the first 90 days that I could turn around and use to fund my organization. But I'm making it for free, including paying for the bandwidth bill for you to watch it for free at WVWTV.com. And I'm then going to turn around and I'm going to make available the DVDs at my cost. I don't know how to demonstrate to you any more than that I'm not fooling around, okay? So the American people need to get serious. The American people need to quit being apathetic and passive, those that are lazy. It is time that we pull together. And it is time that we work together to awaken more people. We need a great awakening, not only spiritually speaking, and understanding the real, true gospel message, but we need an awakening of patriotism. We need it's what Ronald Reagan called an informed patriotism. He begged in his farewell address for Americans to teach their children an informed patriotism in his farewell address. We have got to educate people. Look, I interviewed Steve Kirsch last night. He would be described as a progressive, yet he's no longer with the Democrat Party, because of what they've done with COVID and voter fraud. Naomi Wolf, a self-described progressive, now comes to my show, sounds as conservative as I do on the Second Amendment and so many issues. I say that as examples of people that were very big progressives. Steve Kirsch gave like $20 million to the Democrats over many years. Very successful businessman with patents and inventions. He's now walked away from the Democrat Party because he said it's now become a party pushing the COVID death shots and COVID and voter fraud. And so he's walked away from them because they're not being honest. And what they're doing is extremely harmful, and it's causing people to die and destroying their health. And I show that to you as an example. If you can take someone that has spent $20 million, according to numerous reports, to the Democrats, who then says, oh my, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm done with this. I'm telling you, folks, when we present the truth to people and they see it, we can get people to wake up. Naomi Wolf, Steve Kirsch are examples of people that, again, have been humble enough to say, I'm not going here. I'm not going there. Not only humble enough, but smart enough, bright enough, courageous enough, because do you realize the blowback they're now getting from their friend base? Because of the groups they used to run with? Even Alan Dershowitz, who was on last night with us on TV, do you know the money he has lost? Again, Alan and I would not agree politically on much of anything, and he'll tell you that. But he says, I've been known for fighting for freedom of speech, freedom of conscience. And he's lost a lot of money. I'll tell you another progressive. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has lost a lot of money. I've interviewed him. I know. He's an attorney. He's lost a lot of money. And he's had his own family come out and write articles going against him for his position on vaccines. So Alan Dershowitz, Naomi Wolf, Steve Kirsch, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. These are four public examples that I can use to show you. You can wake up Americans, and some of them are progressives, and you can wake up the progressives. And we got to give them the tools to do it with. And this documentary is one such tool, WVWTV.com. There it is. And we will be announcing soon the pricing, because I just got it emailed to me. I'll go through it, set the pricing for individuals, documentaries, quantity, and then cases, so we can get them out and give them away to as many as possible and overcome this information operation, this brainwashing. The antidote for the brainwashing is the truth, all right? So I cannot tell you how dangerous these times are. There's so much that we should be talking about today that we're not going to talk about because I want to get through this. But there's so much happening. The butcher of Iran is here in the U.S. now speaking, the president of Iran. While they're having uprising in Iran and women are taking off their hijab and cutting their hair and burning their hijab in Iran. And this guy is a butcher, and yet we let him be here on U.S. soil. There's so much to get to. We'll catch up as we get through this, but there's so much important stuff. You can't just say, well, this is more important than the other, because it's all important. But we are going to continue our theme here and then take your calls. So with that, let's roll the audio track for radio of Brainwashed America, Part 2, where we left off yesterday. Here we go. In 2008, one of the 11, George Coker, was interviewed by Joanne Kimberlin, and the interview was published in The Virginian Pilot. Quote, each morning, a gong sounded at 5:30. Coker got up in his cell and stood facing the wall, hands above his head. He stayed there until another gong rang at 10 p.m. The wall went on for more than 2 months, end quote. When asked about this ordeal, Mr. Coker was quoted as saying, quote, that's a real long story, a hard emotional story. I don't know if I'm going to tell it all the way through. It becomes a mental fight. Why are you doing this? Don't do it. I quit. If they see you, they could come in and beat you. That's instant pain. That's not particularly comfortable. A lot of it is just not giving in, not wanting to give in for spite, if nothing else, refusing to yield, end quote. The article goes on to say that, quote, principles drilled into Coker long ago by coaches and scout leaders helped shore him up. To occupy his mind, Coker built houses in his head, nail by nail. He said, quote, one for the lake, one for the ocean, one for cliffs, one for the beaches, one for flat stuff, you name it, end quote. The article said, quote, he designed cars, took trips, laid out menus, end quote. Then they quoted him as saying, quote, that's just one teeny little aspect of what you did. Except slowly. My mind could... All right, hold right there, guys. We'll be right back. Don't want you miss any of that. That's George Coker, by the way, who is in the Vietnam War as a POW, taken from the Hanoi Hilton, ultimately taken to what was called Alcatraz. Okay, we'll pick it up right there when we come back. It's the Worldview Radio broadcast. I'm Brandon House. Thanks for listening. You can watch the entire documentary for free later at WVWTV.com. Hello, friends. I want to remind you the Ozarks Worldview Weekend starts on Friday night, October 14th at 6 p.m. Central Time. 6 p.m. Central Time, Friday night, October 14th, is the official kickoff of the 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend. It'll go Friday night from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday morning, it starts up at 8:30 to noon. Then we have a four-hour break in there, start back up at 4 p.m. and go to 9 p.m. And then Sunday morning worship from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. You can register now at WVWTVstore.com. You can get the general seating tickets while they last, as well as priority seating tickets, which I think are about sold out, but certainly general seating tickets are still available. We are close to selling out, so don't delay. Full details at WVWTVstore.com. Speakers include Dr. Peter McCullough, myself, Brandon House, Mike Lindell, Roger Stone, Patrick Wood, Annie Cyrus, Dr. Lee Merritt, Dr. Andy Woods, Terry Turchi, former Assistant Deputy Director of the Counterterrorism Division of the FBI, Leo Holman, Karen Kingston, and it's held at the Tantara Resort, also now known as Margaritaville. But it was known as the Tantara Resort since the 60s, since the 1960s, and we've been working with them a lot of years. Full details at WVWTVstore.com. Now, we've set up a new number for you if you prefer to order your tickets over the phone. This is not where you call and ask questions or customer support. This is an order line only. Not only can you order your Ozarks tickets there, you can also order freeze-dried food. You can make a contribution to the foundation. And by the way, don't forget, there's the banquet concert on Thursday night, October 13th. Thursday night, the Ozarks Conference Concert Banquet. And then Saturday is the luncheon. Now, the luncheon on Saturday and the Ozarks Banquet Concert on Thursday night are optional. You can just get tickets if you want just for the conference itself, which again starts Friday night at 6 p.m. Central Time, Friday night, October 14th. But if you'd like to order over the phone, you can call 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Again, area code 901-468-9357. Otherwise, you can also just register online at WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. All right. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. All right. The Fed issues another jumbo increase, taking rates to 3.25%, the highest level since the 2008 crisis. And they say that they will hit 4.4 this year and push to tame soaring inflation. Yeah, well, good luck with that, guys. I think the cat's already out of the bag on the inflation thing with all the money being spent. All right. Needless to say, they're doing this on purpose to collapse the economy so they can go to the digital currency that the White House already announced. They basically have it. They're just trying to figure out when and where to roll it out. All right, let's pick it up. This is, again, Brainwashed America Part 3. This is the audio track. You can watch the full documentary at WVWTV.com. Don't forget, by the way, about the 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend. It starts on Friday night, October 14th. Friday night, October 14th, myself, Mike Lindell, Roger Stone, Leo Holman, Dr. Peter McCullough, Karen Kingston, Patrick Wood, Annie Cyrus, Andy Woods. Again, all the details, WVWTVstore.com. And you could also call if you want to get your tickets over the phone or order any emergency food or whatever you want to order there, 901-468-9357, area code 901-468-9357. Don't call that number right now for DVDs for Brainwashed. They're not. We don't have the prices set or anything, but soon you'll be able to call and get quantities. We're not going to be able to take phone calls for one. We just won't be able to – we can't afford to pay the person answering the phone. But then we pay their hourly fee to take one order for one DVD. We're going to be in big, big trouble upside down financially. But we will set it up where you are allowed to use that number if you're ordering quantities. Okay? But the number to order the tickets for the Ozarks, if you want to do it over the phone or our other resources, is 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Now, when we left, we were listening to – an article about George Coker, who was a POW in the Hanoi Hilton during Vietnam. He was one of the 11 that was in leadership. He actually escaped with another POW. They made it 15 miles down the Red River before being recaptured. For that reason, they were seen as leaders, resisting, obviously, and they were taken. He was taken as one of the 11 to what was known as Alcatraz, where the treatment was even worse, absolutely brutal. These guys are resisting the communist. Why did I put this in here? I want you to see these guys resisted the communist. They refused to go along. They refused to write propaganda, written propaganda, recorded propaganda, video propaganda. They refused to have anything to do with it, even in the face of brutal, brutal torture. We're not even being tortured, folks. And we have people that are complying. And complying means when you stop speaking truth, when you start self-censoring. Well, I don't want to say that. I might be criticized. I don't want to say that. I might be ridiculed. I don't want to say that. I might become a target. That's complying. That's complying. We're not even being brutally tortured. And many of us are already complying. These guys were being brutally tortured and refused to comply. They refuse to become passive and apathetic. That's why this is in here, because that's one of the goals of brainwashing, is to cause people to lose their clarity of thought and to compromise their values. These guys wouldn't do that even in the face of torture. They're leaders. They're examples to us. That's why it's in here. Let's pick it up.
Disorder. Coker's wife sometimes sees it when her husband goes to bed. He mumbles, sweats, tosses and turns. Pam has noticed his hands above his head. She said, quote, "In his sleep, he holds up the wall," end quote. The article in the Virginian Pilot went on to report that the men would tap out Morse code on the floor or shared walls to communicate. Why? Well, in this interview, Mr. Coker explained that communication leads to organization, which breeds resistance. That, my friends, is a powerful and instructive statement. One reason why tyrannical governments work so hard to shut down conservatives from having a platform by which to communicate is so they do not inspire their audience to organize and resist. I had the privilege of interviewing Mr. Coker on May 23rd, 2022, and I would like to share some of that interview with you now. Mr. Coker, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you. Welcome to.
You were in Vietnam. You were shot down, is that correct?
That's correct.
Then you were taken into captivity, and were you taken to the Hanoi Hilton, as they called it?
Yes, everybody went there first.
And then after a period of time, I guess a group of you were communicating, Morse code on the walls, talking, communicating. That upset the communist?
That upset them greatly, yes.
And so you guys were then eventually moved as a group, about 11 of you, to what you guys deemed as Alcatraz, correct?
That's correct.
And yet you still continued to communicate there. I noticed one of the things that they did in the POW camps of North Korea was anyone that was deemed a reactionary or a leader had to be moved away from the general population of the other POWs. And they deemed in a government report by William E. Mayer that that was about 5% of the men. Only about 5% of the men had to be moved away from the other 95. Were you guys moved away as a group because you were seen as resisting and being leaders?
I don't know about me, but the rest of them, very definitely. They were the senior guys, very much in charge, organized resistance. And I got kind of included with them because of an escape.
Yeah. So you and one of your fellow POWs had escaped and floated down the Red River and were eventually recaptured, but you guys actually made the attempt to escape, correct? And did.
That's correct.
Wow. So you're taken to Alcatraz, as they called it, and yet you still continue to communicate. Would you agree that communication equals organization, equals resistance, equals hope, that to keep having that hope that you guys did for so many years, that the communication helped lead to the organization, which helped lead to the resistance, which gave you hope?
Very definitely. Being isolated the way we were, kept in solitary confinement, being beat down all the time, constant propaganda on the radio, that communication was great in forming a bond and a group resisting. You know, I might be beaten down, the guy next door would tap to me and encourage me. And, you know, 2 or 3 weeks later, it might be me tapping to him, encouraging him. So communication was a vital part of, as you say, organization, of being together, of not being alone, despite as much they try to make us alone, they never really succeeded. We continue to resist as a group, following the lead of Stockdale and Denton.
How many years were you a POW, sir?
6.5 years.
You mentioned propaganda. When you say propaganda, how were you hearing that propaganda? Was it from the captors themselves? Was it through radio? How were you hearing propaganda?
Well, it's from the captors direct in every interrogation we had, but they also played a little speaker was where everybody could hear it, and they played that every morning for an hour and every evening for an hour. And it's typical, we call it Hanoi Hannah, kind of like the World War II people and even the Korean War people, the constant propaganda of how bad everything in America was and how righteous they were. And it wears on you. Again, when you're alone by yourself, it does wear you down mentally. But again, the communication helped us all bolster our confidence and continue to resist to the maximum that we could.
Do you see any parallels from the propaganda of the communists then or the propaganda of the communists in the North Korean War to demoralize our American servicemen? Do you see any parallels between that then and what the progressive, the Marxist, the communist, politically correct crowd, the cultural Marxist, whatever you want to call them, the globalist. Do you see any parallels to their same propaganda now, but now to the general masses about America and how we're a horrible nation and the tearing down of patriotism? Do you see any parallels?
Oh, absolutely. It's all one and the same game. We were subjected to the stuff that they were in Korea and even to some extent, even go back in World War II. Now, our job was right then and there. It was us versus them. There's no doubt who the good guys and bad guys were. And I think that carries over even to the general culture and population. Their goal is to try to tear down your mental attitude and your love and devotion of patriotism to your country and try to offer them as the alternative. And unfortunately, it sticks with some people. It did not stick with us. We, actually, I think as a group, we resisted to the absolute utmost of our ability, regardless of what they did.
And, of course, when you say what they did, you guys endured a lot of torture, did you not?
Yes, we did. Could call it a unique group. It's certainly a different group. But I guess the big thing, if you resist, then they mistreat you up to very brutal torture, trying to get you to conform to their ideas, which we never did. If you gave in early, then it'd be less pressure, less torture, because you've already been rolled over. And we were determined not to roll over, no matter how bad or painful or how many tortures you got. Even if you got beat up bad, you go back, recuperate, spring back, as we said, and get ready to resist them again to the maximum. I was totally committed to a battle, so to speak. Everything about me, my physical strength, my mental strength, my values. And you needed all that going for you, but the military doesn't train you that way. I said, you get that younger. The military may polish it for specific reasons the way into the military, like the code of conduct. But as far as who you were that went into this cauldron, so to speak, that was you and the way you were brought up. And the three most important things which came out of Vietnam, made me very aware of it, was my God and religion and my sports, both the school I went to and my coaches, and scouting. They were just absolutely major influences in my life. And they all three of those things taught the same values and you know, pointed in the same direction, told you what to expect or what was expected of you, and that what was expected of you is like the scout, to do your best. If you do your absolute best, then you can look at the mirror in the morning and say, I did my best, I'm satisfied. That was very much it. You mentioned the coach, I think. It's kind of interesting. When I got back, I talked to this coach. And I told him, I hate your guts, because at the time as a young freshman in football, I was being used as cannon fodder for the varsity and got the heck beat out of me. And he asked me to do a certain thing, and every time I did it, I got wiped out. And then the third time, I could barely get up, and I just think, I hate this guy's guts. He's killing me. And but I looked back later and realized he taught me, no matter how hard it gets, is to get up and do it again.
Wow.
Keep trying. You never stop. You keep going no matter how bad it goes, and that's what that coach had taught me. And I said, I still hate your guts, but God bless you because you got me through some awfully terrible things. And I thought of him just beat down and, you know, just hurting and and just completely wiped out mentally and physically. And I would hear his voice in the back, "Get up, kid, cross the line." And I got up again, and I charged across that line again. In this case, it was against the Vietnamese captors.
Wow.
But that type of thing is something that was great in me when I was 14, 15, 16 years old. And that's what I carried with me then when I went to Vietnam. And the scouts were the same thing. I was scouting was a very much part of my life. I was engaged out going camping. I was learning from senior people as I got more senior in scouting. I was a senior scout. I was teaching the younger scouts, and all part of that was leadership training, working together, and the scout oath and motto, which says it all as far as what as values go. And in one of the situations that was extremely bad to me, I hung on to just one small phrase at the beginning of scout oath: that on my honor, I will do my best. And so refusing to quit, always getting back up and doing the best you could at the time was just part of my life. It was part of me. And that's, to a great extent, is what got me through Vietnam.
All right, we're going to hold it right there. Come back with the final comments by Mr. Coker. And then you're going to hear from Barry Bridger. This will be an interview that I've never played on the air before. I had the, well, I guess I did. No, I did interview him. I did interview him live at CPAC, but I've never played it for the VCY audience. He was also in the Hanoi Hilton for 6.5 years. Barry Bridger interviewed him live in person at CPAC in Dallas just a couple months ago. We'll be back with more. Don't go away. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you appreciate all the radio shows that I present to you that are free at worldviewradio.com? How about all the TV shows? I'm on TV 4 hours a day, and you can watch all of it for free at WVWTV.com. It's free for you, but it's not free for me. Do you know I spend thousands of dollars a month in bandwidth bills? If you appreciate all the free radio shows, all the free TV shows, guess what? I need your support. We are a listener-supported broadcast. How about my new Worldview Report? You know that's been picked up by 6 different television networks? We don't charge them. We let them take that for free. We let a lot of different networks pick up our programming free of charge. But guess what? It cost, well, tens of thousands of dollars to produce these shows each and every month. Our radio shows, our TV shows, the IT guys that maintain the websites and the Roku channel and all we do. We need your support. And one way you can do it is by making a contribution right now at WVWFoundation.com. We really need your support. WVWFoundation.com. WVWFoundation.com. You can also call this number. This number now is only for making a contribution or ordering products online. It's not a customer support number where you call and ask a bunch of questions. The people who answer this phone are only for taking your order or where you can make a contribution. And that number is 901-468-9357. 901-468-9357. Again, area code 901-468-9357. 9357. And again, you can also make a contribution online at WVWFoundation.com, or you could use our mailing address, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee. That's Collierville, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. Again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. So there's your 3 ways to support us: through the mail, over the phone, or online. However you support us, and how much, doesn't matter. The fact you support us is so greatly appreciated. Thank you so much for your support. All right, welcome back. So let me just tell you again, we've got more breaking news. Vladimir Putin is threatening to nuke the West. He says he's not joking. Folks, I have in my documentary Siege, and in my interviews, including my last interview, last radio show produced for Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, he warned about the great threat, the nuclear threat from Russia, Iran, North Korea. Putin does have the nuclear weapons to do it. He has special kinds of nuclear weapons that can basically skip on the atmosphere. They're not a trajectory that takes off and goes in a straight, you know, line, if you will, or an arc, and you know exactly where it's going to go and land and when. These can skip and change course. His Satan II can carry up to 10 to 12 warheads. So this guy apparently is not bluffing, he says. He will use nuclear weapons on the West. He's calling up some 300,000 reservists. He's willing to start conscription and start drafting people. So, folks, things are definitely heating up. And, yeah, very serious, very perilous times we live in. But the Bible speaks of that, doesn't it? Know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. And we're in them, but we're trying to give you context and understanding. One of the things we have to understand is the brainwashing techniques and tactics and the importance of resisting and not becoming apathetic and passive. And that's what we're talking about and hearing from former Hanoi Hilton POW in the Vietnam War, George Coker. Then we're going to hear, I think, from Red McDaniel, and then, if time allows today yet still, Barry Bridger. Let's go back to the audio track of Brainwashed America Part 2. You can watch the whole 3 hours later today or tonight, whenever it's convenient for you, at WVWTV.com, free of charge. We even pay the streaming bill when you watch it. So listen to this.
In the way that I performed there.
Did the military code of conduct have any influence on you as a POW? Did you think about it? Were you required to memorize it? If so, did you remember it? Did the military code of conduct have any influence on how you were expected to respond as a POW?
I would say absolutely yes. There are some that might not feel it was that important, but I did, and many of the people that I associate felt it was very important, because there's a constant guideline. And the same thing, when you're beat down, people don't understand. You can't sit there and be academic and talk like a college professor. You're getting the living daylight spit out of you, and you're weak, you're tired, you're lonely, and you got to kind of have to go on automatic, so to speak. And that's when those guidelines, that's when that coach kicked in when I desperately needed it to tell you what to do next. He said, get up and cross the line again, which I did. The code of conduct is telling them what they expect of you. And that was a reminder drilled into your brain, so to speak, that when it really got tough, you had to be tough and keep going. So the code of conduct was always back there as a guideline telling you what to expect and what the country expected of you.
Can you speak to the great danger, not only for yourself as a POW to fight off that passivity or apathy, but as a nation? Can you speak to how fighting off that apathy and passivity helped you to survive, and how you would correlate that to America if we are to survive as a free society today?
Well, I guess in a way you could say apathy is the number one enemy. everything else that aims for that to more or less crush your spirit and your resistance. And that's where the leadership came in. We had an advantage over Korea, by the way. You know, we had the code of conduct. We had their experience behind us. As a group, we were much better educated, being flyers. Most of them had college degrees. So we were much better prepared, let's say, than the Korean POWs. And I think we did much better because of that knowledge and that training. And a lot of it, again, was aimed at overcoming apathy. That's even our own POWs. That's where the leadership played such a key role. And leadership did not mean some super senior guy. It meant the guy next door who might have been just barely senior to you, but maybe that didn't even count. He was there to encourage you, don't be apathetic. Don't give up. You got to stand up and fight again. You know, as long as you got breath to breathe, you got to keep getting up. And don't succumb to apathy. We use that term over there. Don't be apathetic. You can't do that. You'll kill yourself. And so we encouraged each other, and that was, again, where communications came in so vitally that, as you said, led to organization. And by talking to each other, we avoided apathy to a great extent. Like I say, I think most of the POWs in Vietnam did a really good job, maybe some a little better than others. But the big thing we had to do is not let apathy or discouragement, or disillusionment get the best of us.
All right, hold right there, Logan. Let me add a comment here. That, see, now they were communicating with each other through Morse code. They could also communicate to each other through hand signals through their cell windows when one would be out in the courtyard. One of the B-roll footage clips you saw was black and white footage, real footage, of some of the POWs sweeping out in the courtyard. They would sweep and send Morse code with the brush of the broom on the dirt. So they were constantly communicating to each other. What were they doing? They were bucking each other up. They would wish each other happy birthday. They knew each other's birthday. They kept track of the date, what day it was, the best of their ability. If someone was tortured and came back to the cell, they would buck them up. They would bolster them.
They would, don't become apathetic. Don't give up. Don't give in. Communication is key to organization. Leadership, communication, organization is all key to resistance and having hope. Why do you think they want to shut us down, folks? Why do you think they want to deplatform us, shadow ban us, and if possible, prosecute us for whatever crime they can create? Show me the man, I'll show you the crime, right? How about hate crimes? He's Islamophobic. He's whatever it might be, because we come against the communists and their coalition of victims, meaning the Marxist and their immigration policy or their LGBTQ victim coalition. Whatever it might be, they'll use it as so-called hate speech, or we're domestic terrorists because we question the election. You see, they must shut us off so we don't communicate with you, so we don't bolster you, encourage you, challenge you, equip you, edify you in the truth. Because we are leaders. By default, whether we want to be or not, we're leaders. Many of you, by default, whether you want to or not, you're leaders, and I hope you want to be a leader. People think leadership is something people aspire to and it's arrogant. No, it's not. Leadership is not an easy thing. Being a public person is not easy. In fact, people who get into it for the wrong reason quickly find out it's not all it was cracked up to be. But people that are in it for the right reason, if they really did what was in their own best interest, at some point they, and right now would be the time, they would retire. Right now, I'm 53, this would be the perfect time for me to retire. I still have my health, I've achieved a lot, and this would be a great time to retire and go away. I'd be bored out of my mind. But it would be a perfect time from the standpoint of pragmatism to retire. And folks, that would be derelict of duty. That would be being selfish. That would be being less than what God has called all of us to do. I don't see retirement in the Bible. But you don't retreat when people who are counting on you for truth, for encouragement, for edification, for equipping, when they're accounting on you, and when many of them have put their neck on the line because you encouraged them to, and then you walk off. But they want us to stop communicating. They don't want us to hear from each other. By the way, you communicate with me. You bolster me. You encourage me. You edify me with your text, your handwritten letters that I save. I have a huge box of handwritten letters from all these years. I read some of them on the air to you at night. When you call into the broadcast, you see our communication with each other encourages each other. And isn't that what the Bible says? To encourage each other all the more as you see the day approaching. That day is coming, folks. The day of the Lord is coming. And we know what has to happen for that day to occur, perilous times. And we must encourage each other all the more. This is vital what they were doing. Let me go ahead and open the phone lines up and go back to the recording, but get you guys in queue, ready to go. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. Let's go back to the recording.
And that's there very specifically. It was on trial, and I think we did very well. But the same thing applies back here. Anytime somebody gets depressed and apathetic, they're not going anywhere good.
When you finally came home, what changes, if any, did you see in America? And if so, what did you make of those changes?
We did see a lot of change. And to tell you the truth, we don't usually talk about it too much because we were kind of out of tune with, let's say, in a certain sense, their apathy, or they're not getting the job done, so to speak. A lot of the problems when we got back home were the same things we knew about before we left, but nothing had been done. It's like, what's the country been doing? Well, I guess they were fighting Vietnam back home in a political battle or some silly thing. But, yeah, we were not impressed, if you want to say that, when we came back. We were startled. We were concerned. But yeah, here's a small group. I don't think we wanted to stand up and take on the nation, so to speak. So we kind of kept quiet. But we were, I'd say, very concerned, and apathy might be the correct word to use. They didn't exactly think the same way. We absolutely knew who the enemy was, and we fought it tooth and nail with everything we could. But back home, they didn't feel that way. They had all kinds of excuses, and, well, maybe it was that bad, and they were just, you know, fighting for their country or some other crazy thing. But it was nothing but raw, brutal communism. And we, like I say, we had no problem seeing that. But back when we came home, we saw where people were maybe confused.
I wonder if you would agree with me that maybe in America we have become apathetic and passive to the point we don't recognize the values and the philosophies and the tactics of the enemies, both foreign and domestic, that are trying to bring down this great nation, America.
To me, it's absolutely obvious, because we went over there, fought this enemy, came home, country developed. And now today, if you said communism, that's not a bad word. When I went over there, it was. We knew who they were. But suddenly now, being a communist isn't necessarily a bad thing. That's just another political agenda, so to speak. Extreme socialism, you know, it's okay. And it's not okay with me. Absolutely not okay with me. And I don't think we know who the enemy is. You know, we've been... We've been slowly brainwashed by somebody or by ourselves or politicians or whatever. But it's clear to me that when communism becomes just a nice old thing, another political thing, then I think we've lost our way.
Hmm. You went over there to fight the spread of communism. Did you ever think that you would see this day in America here in 2022 as we're talking?
No. Most depressing thing in the world. That's when you really look back before people say, well, you feel bad about going? Do you feel like it was a waste of time? And I've always said, no, absolutely not. That's what my job was, and I did it to the best of my ability. That's what they expected of me, so I tried with everything I had. And to think that someday that these people would be considered nice guys or just another political party that was comparable to our political parties, I mean, it's just bewildering. I wonder now, what was it all for?
Wow.
It's absolutely unbelievable.
What would you say to your fellow Americans, being you who you are, who clearly have earned the right to speak directly to them bluntly? What would you say to them?
Hold it right there. We'll get his response tomorrow, what he would say to Americans, and then we'll get to Red McDaniel and Barry Bridger. All right. In the meantime, we're going to get your thoughts, your comments, your feedback, your questions. Phone line's now open. 1-800-347-9829. Now, remember, you can watch this entire 3 hours with all the graphics, all the B-roll footage, lot of original historic black and white footage of the actual POWs taken by the North Koreans, by the Chinese in Vietnam. That's real footage, folks, at WVWTV.com. I hope you'll tweet it, text it, email, spread it everywhere, WVWTV.com. It's right there on the homepage.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and we just got another shipment of freeze-dried food with a 25-year shelf life. Now, I got a big announcement. Not only can you order it at WVWTVstore.com online, but we have now, as of the last week of August 2022, we have set up a specific and new number where we can take your freeze-dried food order over the phone. We have heard from a lot of you who don't want to order over the line, over the internet, I should say. A lot of you don't want to order over the internet. You want to order over a phone line. And then there are those of you that don't even have a computer, and you listen different ways, but you don't have a computer to order on. So here's a new phone number. I want to make it clear, though, this is only for making orders. You can order freeze-dried food. You can order some of my books. You can make a contribution to the Worldview Weekend Foundation. You can order Ozarks conference tickets. It is an order line only. This is not where you call and ask general questions. The people that answer this phone line, that's not what they do. And so they will politely tell you that and have to hang up so they can handle customer order numbers only. This is an order line only. So you can order everything still at WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com, or you can call 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Again, 901-468-9357. Remember, now we've got the freeze-dried food that comes in, well, two-week option. You got the 72-hour test kit. You can get the 72-hour test kit and just try it out. Then we got the two-week option, the four-week option, three-month emergency food supply, six-month emergency food supply, and the one-year emergency food supply. Maybe you want to do 2 years. Well, you do 2 1-years. I personally, for my family, have at least a two-year supply.
A gentleman called the other day. He wanted a three-year supply. We can handle all that for you, folks. We have plenty of inventory right now. Can't promise you what the future will be like. We've seen opportunities come up where, you know, things happen and we can't get the freeze-dried food. That's not the case now. So you do want to order while you can get it. WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com, or 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357 to get your freeze-dried food while you can.
All right, let's go to your calls, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. And again, I do hope you guys are helping get the word out about this documentary. Wouldn't it be a shame to have put all this into it and all these guys and gals who have taken part in it and been interviewed and us not get to see millions and millions of people see it? That would be a real shame, wouldn't it? All right, let's go to the calls. Let's go to Yancey from Salem, West Virginia. Yancey, thanks for calling in today.
Hi, yes, it's Yancey from Salem, Virginia.
Okay.
And I appreciate your show. Hats off to the 101st Screaming Eagles Airborne Black Ops who
Absolutely.
Came back from Vietnam. I like
yes.
the show.
Thank you.
The topic I want to speak about was I want to encourage someone to mint hard time tokens. It's something that I haven't seen in circulation forever. It's something that can't be easily destroyed or deleted like the electronic age in which we're living in. And long after these items are burned to the ground, what will be left? Maybe a hard time token that somebody will discover and about these times that you're reporting on. And I like to see images such as current events, things that, you know, you could brainstorm images such as like Nancy Pelosi and Biden handing out clean needles while eating ice cream, MyPillow on the front of one or something to that effect, Saving America, Brandon House leading the charge. Inspiring things that could be, you know, given away as a gesture of love, but maybe
kind of like, of course, you being from the military, kind of would understand this, and those outside the military maybe are aware of it, but a lot aren't. Kind of like a challenge coin. Is that what you're thinking?
I suppose. I can't say that I was ever in the military, but. Challenge
oh, I thought
coins,
you were. I'm sorry.
Hard time tokens. I happened to find one years ago underneath of a hot water heater leg that somebody had planted, and it had our Chet on it, Garfield and Chesterfield.
Mm-hmm.
They called him our Chet when he was replaced. It was something I didn't even know existed, but I thought I'd share this thought with you in case someone wanted to run with it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Yancey. I thought you were in the military. I'm sorry. Yeah, it sounds like a coin challenge. And those of you that are in the military or were in the military know exactly what I'm talking about. And those are a great way to encourage and inspire people. And you don't just give them to just anybody. You only give them to people that support you that you've gotten to know. And sometimes you only gotten to know them in the last maybe 10, 15 minutes. You meet them somewhere. But your conversation, you connect with them, and you know they're a leader, and you want to inspire them, encourage them, and you pull out a coin challenge, you hand it to them. I had one handed to me after an interview with a state senator who was also former military. State Senator Hall handed me his coin challenge after I interviewed him. And again, it's something you give to people when you're basically saying, I identify with you. I appreciate you. I want to encourage you to keep going. Here's my coin challenge. General Flynn, for instance, would have one and give those sparingly. A lot of people do, even in the corporate world. So coin challenges are a great way to encourage people. So I like that idea. Dave from Michigan. Dave, go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Brandon. Nice to talk to you. I've been a long-time listener and never been able to get through, but I really
Well, glad you called.
What you're
well,
doing
you.
And
thank you.
I wish I could get to the Ozarks and see you guys, but anyway, kind of stuck here with other things. But I'm your age, and the apathetic nature of the country is sad. And I just it's you tell people and friends about what's going on, and they look at you like you're a man from Mars sometimes. And it's like,
yes,
you know, I don't know, people don't want to wake up, you know.
Well, what do you think? What do you think, Dave? if you gave this documentary to people, sent a link, emailed it to them, I wonder if you get a chance to see it, if you could see the B-roll footage and the footage in here and all of it put together. I'm wondering if you think it would shock some of your friends.
I don't know. I would hope it would, you know, but so many people nowadays aren't even in the history, even the younger generation, my kids and that, you know, it's just some of my older kids are, but you know, it's just like, it doesn't seem like anybody cares about anything. We're just sitting around doing nothing. And meanwhile, like you said, Putin's firing up the nukes and everything else here. And, yeah, it's pretty scary. I know my uncles had served in many of them in World War II, and I got my brother-in-law was in Special Forces, you know, Green Beret. And, you know, these guys put so much into this, and we're just throwing it away. It's very hard to figure out.
It is hard to figure out. And you're going to hear tomorrow we conclude the interview with George Coker. You're going to hear him say, yeah, I do have to wonder at sometimes, was it all worth it when I realized so many of the American people have become so apathetic? And, you know, that's what happened in the POW camps of North Korea. 5% were moved away as leaders, because they said they'd be moved away to reactionary camps. 15% collaborated with the enemy, the communists, in the North Korean camps. And 80% that was left did nothing. Did nothing. Well, Dave, I know you get frustrated, as do many of our listeners, because of the apathy they see, and they realize that it leads to basically a national suicide. Thanks for calling in. I hope you call in again. Rob from Gilbert, Arizona. Rob from Arizona, thanks for calling in today, Rob. Are you there, Rob?
Yeah,
hey, Rob.
Sorry, I dropped my phone.
No problem.
You know, considering this January 6th insurrection, so-called insurrection, and those people that are sitting there, similar to what the conditions, nothing to be compared to Vietnam, but these are the leaders. I mean, just showing up for that, to voice their concerns for the election in the first place, these are not people who would have called themselves leaders, but they're certainly in a position for leadership, if we could ever hear their testimonies. And it's shameful that they're still there. And where are the cowards in our Congress? There's no excuse for those people still sitting there waiting to see what's going to happen for them. I think the Marxists in charge know exactly what would happen if their testimonies got out, and if we found out what was really going on behind the scenes, and they're not about to let those folks out and allow for that. In the same way that we can be encouraged by those that suffered in POW camps, you know, it's really no comparison, but it's a microcosm of what things that are to come, it seems to me.
Well, they are political prisoners, and I did interview a columnist with Epoch Times the other night. And some of the families are communicating with these guys inside, and they are being tortured, literally being tortured. Let's go real quick. Laura from Milwaukee. Laura, if you go quick, we'll get you in. Go, Laura.
Hi, I just wanted to say how hard it is to get people to dialogue, to talk and discuss what's going on. Even in the Christian churches, I can't get them to engage. And when I go other places, people are just like, you said about being really apathetic and don't want to get involved. And I don't know. Christians say, well, that's how it's supposed to go. You know, it's the end times. And, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Well, we're going to address that tomorrow. And we're going to continue with this. Well, I'm so glad you guys aren't apathetic. Be encouraged, my friends. Keep going. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.
In March of 2022, Biden signed an executive order dealing with cryptocurrencies. The Federal Reserve and the Secretary of the Treasury are all talking about America moving to digital currencies. Many nations are now talking about moving to digital currency. My friends, I've been warning folks for years that when they go to a digital currency combined with social credit scores, they'll be able to turn you off, turn off your bank account, just like that. We saw recently in Canada where they implemented emergency powers and began to seize the bank accounts of people that simply were doing peaceful protesting in favor of freedom and liberty. We already know that in America, we who are patriotic conservative Christians have been deemed domestic terrorists for showing up at school board meetings and letting our school boards know we don't want our children taught Marxism under the guise of critical race theory. We don't want the mandated mask onto our children. We don't want mandated vaccines. And yet, that has many labeled by the FBI as potential or actually domestic terrorist. We now know that the World Economic Forum, openly in their own documents, is calling for a digital currency and digital ID for everyone in the world. And we know the Biden regime is fully on board. They openly state that your digital identity will be tied to social credit scores and your ability to get a loan will be tied to that information. Why would you be under the thumb of the globalists and the elite when you already know what it is they're saying about you and what they're doing in America and around the world? Why would you leave yourself vulnerable to them turning off your account, leaving you helpless? My friends, I believe this is where precious metals come in. I don't give financial advice, but I do give financial opinion. And for years, I've been advising my audience to take seriously becoming educated on the issue of precious metals, and particularly numismatic. Many people don't even know what numismatic coins are. They're coins that are 1933 and older, and by law, they're private. It's a great way, I believe, for people to store their wealth, not to make money, but to protect your money as a hedge against inflation. If you want to get a free report with no obligation, I urge you to call my friend Wes Peters. I've been working with Swiss America as a sponsor of our organization and conferences for over 15 years. Wes is a retired Marine. You can text him your name and number, and he'll send you the packet of information, no obligation. You don't even have to call him. You can simply text his cell phone at 602-558-8585. Give him your mailing address. Say, I want the free packet of information Brandon talked about, and it'll be on its way. Just text him your name and address to 602-558-8585. Then after you get the packet of information, go through it, and when you're ready to have your questions answered, you can call Wes back. That number again to text your name and address to get the free packet of information that's no obligation is 602-558-8585. Again, 602-558-8585. Don't you think you've been given plenty of warning for what's coming? Isn't it time for a prudent man, a wise man, to take refuge?